Now you can have a seat. Yes. Oh, wait, one more thing.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, guys, so good to have you this morning. Beautiful morning. I was like, wow, that's really cool. It sounds like I have background music to get going. This is awesome. Hey, so this morning, really quickly before I get started, just two quick announcements. Hey, don't forget, Sunday, December 23rd, bring cookies for our Christmas Eve cookie giveaway. So every Christmas, what we do is we put together cookie plates, tons of them, and then we go, and at the end of our Christmas Eve service, we go out and we give them to people who work on Christmas Eve. So, fire department, police station, hospitals, anywhere. Bring some over to Jen, 911, you know? And so, and it's great. It's just a great way to bless a community and say we're thinking about them, we love them on Christmas Eve. And so, bring cookies Sunday the 23rd so that we can make plates and give them out. So we love to do that. And then the other thing is, let me just talk about this really quick. So we're buying this building. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. It's about dang time. We've been renting here for 7 years, and my kingdom to have that rent money back. But we want to buy the building. We want to beautify the neighborhood. We want to tell the neighborhood, look, we're here. We're not going to move out. Another bar is going to move in. Because that's what has occupied this building for almost 100 years, literally. Bars and things have come through here. They've been just really kind of a blight on the neighborhood, actually. And we've had a lot of neighbors since we've been in this neighborhood thank us for bringing a church into the neighborhood because it has helped to change the atmosphere. And so we want to buy it, say we're here to stay. We want to beautify the building, beautify the neighborhood, continue our mission to reach out to the Old Town community. And so we're raising $20,000. I know last week I was like 10. I said it wrong. We're raising $20,000 to put the down payment on the building. We want to pay for the sucker, and we should be able to get paid for it in about the same amount of time we've rented it. So, this is a faith pledge. And so what I'm saying this morning is, when you're thinking about what to give, give something that requires some faith to give, all right? So I know just saying $20,000, wow, that's a lot of money. But, you know, Wendy and I, we've prayed about it, and so we're giving the first $1,000. So I don't even know where we're going to get it, but we're giving the first $1,000 to pay for the down payment on the building. So that only leaves 19. So we just took care of one. There's only 19 more. And so, 19 other people want to give $1,000. We've got this thing covered. And so so be praying about this. And now anytime you want to, if you want to give it in one lump sum in the offering, you can do that. If you want to give it in installments or whatever. And so that's what this is all about, just so that we know what to expect to come in and things like that. So that is awesome. You can put it in the offering. You can go set it at the coffee counter. We'll take care of it there. But please make sure that you look at that, pray at that. It's a faith thing, all right? So, also, really quick here. Let's put our mission up there. This is what we're all about. Can we say it together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. All right, that's what we're all about as a church. We're loving Jesus. We're loving each other. We are growing in Christ. And so, awesome. God is good. I just got to put up here so I don't go too long. All right. Got to look at that thing. All right. So, hey, this morning what we're doing is we're starting a three-part series called On the Waiting List, right? Hey, you got it right. And we're talking about the seasons in our life where it seems like our desires, our dreams, the things that we've really longed for, right? It's just one of these things. And it just seemed like they're just on hold. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that in your life, where you felt like you are in a holding pattern. And then you're like, maybe it's not a holding pattern. Maybe it's my life, right? Maybe that's my destiny, is to be right where I am. And waiting in our culture seems to be a bit of a lost art. Ever noticed that? And people have trouble waiting now. What used to seem like a short wait now seems forever. Thanks, Amazon. All right? Oh, my goodness. Y'all remember the days when you were like, oh, I'll just spend $25 and it might come a few days later, but I'll wait, no big deal. Now it's like, no, Prime, I want it yesterday. We have drones delivering things in big cities. Fast food, I mean, microwave dinners, high-speed internet. We're talking about what's that next coming, like a 5G coming out, you know? It's just everything's getting faster. And if we have to wait in line for something, you know, for a few minutes, we get cranky, you know? Like, I remember, like, standing in line at a fast food place one time, and the guy in front of me turns around. He's like, this is bull. Dude, you've been standing there 2 minutes, you know? People just don't like to wait. In San Francisco, you can actually hire somebody. There's an app. Boop, boop, boop. And you hire somebody to come stand in line for you at the DMV. For like they just come, $25 an hour, they come stand in line for you. It's like waiting Uber, you know? And it's just kind of crazy. The other day, I was at Qdoba with a friend of mine, and we're having lunch, we're sitting at the table, and, you know, it's one of those things, have you ever gone, and you go and sit down, and then you look up, and you notice that the line is, like, to the door, and you're like, good thing we came when we did, right? Yeah, and it was one of those experiences, and so we look up, and every single person in line had their phone out, because they couldn't stand to wait without, like, being entertained or being distracted somehow. You know, like, standing there is just horrible. Truth be told, you know, as an aside, it's actually kind of good for your brain if you have, like, a few minutes like that where when you're standing in line and you allow your brain to just sort of drift and you just kind of get bored. That's actually very healthy for your brain. And but every person was in line looking at their phone. The worst waiting experience for me is like if I go to a doctor's office or a dentist's office, maybe you've been here, like, and they have a huge waiting room and they have two TVs on playing two different things. Okay, so I'm in a doctor's office one time. They have a big waiting room, TV over here playing some child's educational thing that was like really loud and obnoxious, and you hear lots of boing and wah wah wahs and, you know, all this stuff. And it's just driving me nuts. But that's happening, and then another show is on another TV, and it's another children's program. So two very loud, obnoxious things happening. Not a single child in the waiting room was watching the TV. Do you know what the children in the waiting room are doing? iPad. You know, and so it's like, we can't wait anymore. There's no sitting there and being still. It's, I've got to be stimulated. I can't wait. I've got to be entertained or distracted. And so we clearly think in our culture today that waiting is from the devil. That Satan somehow invented waiting, and we must find ways to circumvent the absolute boredom of waiting. And so I've noticed something in life about waiting, and that's this. That's that a lot of times the most important, like the more important something is, the longer we seem to have to wait for it, right? So if it's really big, if it's really important to you, if it's something really special, you have to, you know, wait for it. You know, if you're trying to build your life or build a career, or if you're waiting for a spouse, or if you're waiting for a change in someone, or if you're waiting for a change in yourself, or if you're waiting for something big or important, and usually the bigger and more important it is, the longer you got to wait for it. It doesn't just come. So you don't have to wait for a cheeseburger. You can just go down, they slide one across the counter for you. You don't even have to pay for it. I'm just kidding. So at Checkers, that's true. It's like $1 for 5, you know, cheeseburgers or something. Wait, thank you. I stand corrected. It's $5. So back in 2003, I felt like I was supposed to plant a church back in 2003. Now, we planted this one in 2011 is when it officially launched. But in 2003, I felt like I was supposed to plant a church. And it was one of those things, and maybe you've done this before, where you leap before you look. You're like, oh, that sounds good. I'm going to leap before I look. Before I really assess it, before I really take a look and see what I need to do and what needs to happen, I'm going to leap before I look. It's like the guy who, you know, runs out and buys a motorcycle and brings it home, and the wife is like, what the heck is going through your mind? You know, I'll leap before I look. Now we're $10,000 in debt. I didn't think about that. It was awesome, you know. And so you leap before you look. It was one of those things kind of like that. I wish I would have bought a motorcycle, but instead I planted a church. And so we rented some space, not really knowing how we were going to pay for it. And we gathered a team. We just went for it. And you guys, it was awful. It was a dismal, dismal failure. And I learned that the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. And so many times we get an idea for the right thing, but when we don't wait and we kind of leap before we look, it ends up being the wrong thing. And it ended up being just the wrong thing. And fast forward 7 years, had grown quite a bit, was a different person, and we went for it, okay? I'd been a more patient person, though. I'd learned loads about leadership, loads about other things. And in 2010, we made the decision that we were going to plant Mercy Vineyard, right? But this time we were more prepared. We waited. And here we are, still wondering if this thing's going to take off. Is it going to make it? I don't know. 7 years old. And so it's huge. And so waiting was exactly what I needed. Waiting was exactly what I needed, and it allowed God the opportunity to grow me for this adventure. You know, you don't decide to go run a marathon and then just go run it next week, right? You don't go. I know there's the whole couch to 4K. Isn't that a thing now? Couch to 5K. Okay, I got my K's wrong. But there's the couch to 5K. But it's not like you're on the couch one day and the 5K is the next day. I mean, you know, there's a time of training and waiting and developing. And, you know, maybe you've kind of had experiences like that. I know, like, Maybe you're 15 years old and you really want to drive, right? I don't know how many people are out there like that today. You know, but your parents kind of are patient in working you through the process, okay? I don't know where you're going. You can't drive. you know, or maybe you just really are wanting to do life with a godly husband. You just really want to do life with a God husband, but it has been years, and the right person hasn't come along yet, right? Or maybe you really want to do life with a godly wife, and it's just been years. You know, and you're just, right person's not come along. And there's waiting. Maybe you had a dream to start a business, and you're just still waiting for it to get off the ground. You got your box of business cards, and you've only given out 3, right? You're still waiting. Or maybe you got that degree, and you took that class, and you're still waiting to get into that field, right? There's that waiting. And, you know, what's the deal with waiting? Why is waiting so important? I sound like Seinfeld saying that. What's the deal with waiting? Grape nuts, right? Why don't we move from desire to fulfillment more quickly? Wouldn't that be kind of awesome from this side of it if we moved from desire to fulfillment? You just like, yeah, man, shoot. You know, I wanted to start a Fortune 500 company, and like next week I had one, right? if we just kind of like develop like that. Man, I really wanted a godly spouse, and boom, we only had 5 days to prepare, you know, and we got married. We have this sort of lottery line of thinking. I really want to be a millionaire, so I think I'll play the lottery. And a lot of people, if they invested as much time in their education as they do in the lottery, they could just educate themselves and start a business, and you know. But we have this lottery mentality. We want some sort of prosperity, we want some sort of fulfillment, and we want it now. But that's really not how God works. And, you know, God has a purpose for waiting. And so we're going to talk about that purpose, and it's my conviction. This is not, from the Bible. This is me. But I really believe that there is more supernatural that takes place during the middle, during the waiting, than takes place in the fulfillment, in the exciting part. And if we can see God in that waiting period, we really would understand how important it is, and we would change. And it's pretty incredible. So we're going to talk about that. Let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy and your tenacious love. And we ask, God, that you would give us eyes to see you in the waiting times of our life. And God, I pray that you would help us put our eyes on you. We love you. Let your word come alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to take a look at King David, just really quick. David was a master. We learned so much about waiting from David. And what a lot of people don't realize, so y'all know how way back when God told David that he was going to be king. Remember when David was anointed king and he was a boy and he had to be brought in from the fields because he was out tending sheep when Samuel went to go anoint a king in Jesse's household. And so that was kind of the story. People of Israel were crying out for a king. And then Saul was anointed king. Saul wasn't doing such a good job. And so God's like, I'm going to anoint another king over Israel. And he sent the prophet Samuel over to the household of Jesse, David's dad. And he said, you're going to anoint a king there from among Jesse's sons, right? And so Jesse brought out his sons, and he had super handsome sons and big strong sons and sons that looked like Abercrombie models, and whatever. And Samuel's just like, no, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. Who else you got? And Jesse's like, well, I got another son. He's out tending sheep. He's just kind of young right now. And Samuel's like, bring him in. Samuel sees David there, and he says, that's the one. He's going to be king over Israel. So he anoints David as king over Israel. But he didn't become king right then. And I don't think that it would have been a wise decision for him to become king any more than I would think that it would be a wise decision for my son to drive right now. But he will very soon. And, so if David would have become king at 15 years old, I don't know, it might have been some problems. But here's the thing, or I don't know if he was 15, I think they say he was probably around 12 or 13, but between the time David was anointed as king and he actually became king, there was about 15 years. 15 years. I mean, how many times have you and I had a great idea? God gave me this idea. God told me to do this thing. Or I have this vision. I have this dream. And when it doesn't happen in 6 months or a year or 2 years, we're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I misheard God, right? And so it took him 15 years between when he told him he'd be king and when he actually became king. And so it was during those 15 years when David was anointed king, that the current king, Saul, actually tried to hunt him down. And so the current king, Saul, was not, so not only was David anointed king and not become king immediately, the current king was hunting him, literally trying to kill him. So that time in the middle for David, I'd say, was very difficult, wouldn't you say? Yeah, that'd be kind of hard. Anybody ever feel that way? I had this awesome idea. I felt like I was supposed to do this thing. And then we start, and then it was just like, wow, not only is this not happening? But the people that said they had my back aren't even anywhere near me. Not only is this thing not happening, but people are opposing us. People are trying to shut us down. I have a friend that started a church in Ireland. He's an Irishman, and he started a church in Ireland. And when they went to go start their building, the convent, there was a local convent really nearby, went around town and actually started a petition to try to push the hand of the local government to keep my friend's church from being able to build a building. And so you talk about just oppression comes along after the vision is given. And I'm sure that David doubted many times. I'm sure that he doubted many times. But it was during this time of being hunted that he wrote a beautiful psalm. He wrote the Psalms. And he wrote the 27th Psalm. And it's verses 11 through 14. He says this. So David's saying, "Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. So I just want to tell you something this morning. I want you to lock in while I say this. Because if you remember one thing this morning, here's what I want you to remember. You ready? God is in the murky middle. God is in the murky middle. Because, right, the beginning, things feel almost really clear. We have this feeling. We know what we're supposed to do. And in the end, we have this fulfillment. Yay! Right? But the middle gets awfully murky. It gets awfully discouraging. It gets, wow, this isn't how I envisioned it. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. Maybe I just don't have what it takes. Maybe this, maybe that. And we have this murky area called the middle. And I tell you, that's exactly where God is. God is in the murky middle. And so the murky middle is that place between when you receive the vision and when the vision actually comes to pass. And it's in that area where the excitement of the vision starts to wear off, right? It's like your seventh year in marriage. Didn't they say seventh year? Kind of get that 7 years, your seven-year itch, you know. Maybe I should have married someone, you know, taller or blonder or whatever, you know. I didn't have any of those thoughts, though, just so you know. But, you know, I mean, it's sort of like it's that place in the middle. And it's not as exciting, right? You wonder if God was ever really leading you. Did God really tell me to do this? And those little voices, that's when the little voices come in. I hate the little voices. Man, I hate the little voices, right? And it's, maybe that business idea was just too grandiose. Maybe you were just thinking too big. Maybe you got delusions of grandeur, right? You need to be more realistic. You know, let's just be realistic, man. Just throw in the towel. Just throw in the towel. Just give up. It would be easier, right? Sometimes we give up just because giving up would be a lot easier than holding on a little bit longer. Just holding on is too hard. Just throw in. It's okay. People would understand. No one would think less of you if you gave up now. Everybody would understand. Anybody ever hear those voices? Yeah, right? Hey, people would understand. Maybe your standards for a man are just too high. Maybe you just need to settle, right? Yeah, you know, after all, you're not exactly the catch of the day. Let's just be realistic here. You're not really a spring chick. Lower your standards a little, all right? Hey, if not, you might end up alone. You don't want to be alone, do you? You know, honestly, I think that, I'll just tell you, speak from experience as a pastor. 80% of the really bad relationships that I've seen happen, where they come and they fail, or they stay together but they're miserable, is fear of loneliness. Fear of loneliness. Well, what if nobody else comes along? I mean, you know, sure, she's a horrible person, but what if nobody else comes along? I mean, it's better than being lonely, I guess. At least I have somebody to watch TV with, you know. And so, don't listen to the voices. Because it's at that time. It's when those voices come. It's in the murky middle where it is vital. It is crucial when we take our thoughts captive. Because remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, we have dominion over our thoughts. Our thoughts don't run us. We run our thoughts. And so it's when we take our thoughts captive. Because God uses that murky middle time. God uses the middle to shape us and to mold us to become the people that we need to be in order to fulfill the vision. Because I'll be honest with you, when God gave you that vision, you weren't ready. Okay? That may be offensive to some of you. But when God gave you the vision, you just weren't ready. And when God gave David, when he anointed him king, he wasn't ready. And so God uses that murky middle to shape you and to mold you. The incredible thing about vision is that we are never ready for its fulfillment during the time that we have the vision. When God gave me a vision to start a church, I wasn't ready. I was a youth pastor that was leaving a church because we got a new senior pastor and I didn't like him. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't like the guy, and he literally it was in a denomination where you vote in your pastors, right? And so he came in, and they did this thing in this denomination where you candidate. You come on a Sunday, and you preach, and you schmooze, and then they have a vote. And I voted no. I didn't want him to come. He was not what I wanted as a pastor. I felt like he was too young. He didn't have kids, and I wanted a pastor who had kids and did ministry and knew what it was like to do ministry with kids. And so this guy came on the job, and in his first week, he calls me into his office, and he just asked me point blank, how did you vote? Because two people voted no, and I'm going to find out who they are. And I just said, I voted no. I wanted an older pastor who had done ministry with kids. And so when I left that church to plant, it was because I just wanted to get away from this guy. And but I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. And so we need to be willing to grow and become the kind of people that are ready to fulfill that vision. In fact, a commitment to growing, if you're really committed to growing in this, can help shorten the waiting process in some of circumstances, right? And so God is in the murky middle. So the next thing about waiting is this. Waiting reveals our true motives. Waiting will reveal our true motives. If you want to know if somebody really wants something, make them wait for it, right? What about your kids? I always thought it was hilarious how a couple of my children were younger, and we would be maybe at the store, and he saw something on the shelf and he wanted it. I know your kids probably never did that, but my kids would see something and they wanted it, and then when I told them no, they would whine and complain. I mean, they'd just cry. Boy, I mean, just it's the end of the world. If I don't have this useless piece of crap, I'm gonna die, you know. So we would do something to kind of pacify them and go, tell you what, we'll come back tomorrow and get it. They completely forgot, right? They didn't remember. Yours probably would. I could see Clara the next day going, are we gonna go back and get that thing? But you know, it's just amazing how kids will go from, if I don't have this, I'm going to die, to completely forgetting about it. You know, waiting will reveal your true motives. I remember I used to lead a prayer and worship gathering on Friday nights at the Quad Cities Prayer Center. There was a period when we would have 50 kids come out. We had a great time. You remember that. And they would come and worship and praise. And every once in a while, we would have a local young worship leader. Why am I using air quotes? Because they were local young and worship leaders. But they would come, and they would come up to me afterwards after a really exciting night, and they'd go, hey, I'd lead worship. I'd love to lead worship for you. I'd love to come and lead worship for you. And 100% of the time, 100%, I'd go, hey, man, that's awesome. Just keep coming back over the next few weeks so I can get to know you a little bit, and maybe we can make that happen. And 100% of the time, I would never see them again. Because asking them to wait revealed their true motives. They weren't interested in leading people in the presence of God. They were looking for a platform for their talent. And so waiting reveals our motives. I talked to one woman once who told me that her boyfriend broke up with her because she said she was waiting for marriage to have sex. And they were out of there. Well, there's a big motive, revealer, isn't it? I mean, that'll reveal motives really fast. So waiting reveals our motives. If your motive is pride, if your motive is personal gratification, if your motive is emotional feels, right? And we get that even sometimes, even in camp. Because camp is high emotion. It's a big need, man. We're working with kids with big needs. They're abused and neglected, and they've been through awful things, and that'll move somebody's heart in that moment, and they have all the feels. And we say, well, we're going to have to wait, or there's a process, and this isn't going to happen till then. And they're just out. They move on to other things, right? Because what they're in it for is the feels. That's their motive. And so waiting will reveal people's motives. Or if there's a bias of some sort, waiting will reveal that. And so if your motive is pride or something else, you're probably not going to make it through the murky middle. And that's important to understand that. And there may be even times during the murky middle where your motives are revealed to you, and that's an opportunity to bring those motives to God and ask Him to realign them for you. And so if you can honestly tell yourself, the Lord has led me and He is still with me, then you'll find the grace to grow through the murky middle, okay? And so we've even experienced that, you know, here where we've had to go, well, did God lead us to do that? Yes. Okay, well, let's keep doing it. And so this leads me to the next thing, because God wants to grow you through that middle. Waiting transforms our character. Waiting will transform your character. From the time I felt God leading us to plant the church to the time we actually planted Mercy Vineyard, I was a different person. I mean, there's no other way around that. I was a different person from vision to fulfillment. And there's a reason why women don't become pregnant and have the baby the next day. Aren't you happy for that, ladies? I'm sure there are some women who actually wish there was an even longer gestation period, you know. But you don't... it's like, yeah, 9 months, fine, yeah. Because it takes time for not only their bodies, but their hearts to prepare them to give birth and nurture a child. And so our faith grows, our character matures, our knowledge expands, and in most cases, we become kinder people. We become stronger people. We become more compassionate people. And we go from being flaky and wishy-washy and proud to being steady and consistent and humble. That's an awesome thing, is God leads us into the fulfillment part when we become humble. I think if we did, even if it was ministry, if we did go from vision to fulfillment, we'd get awfully prideful, awfully arrogant. And so God wants us to walk in humility. And so if you hold on through that work, if you hold on to that work that God does in you during that murky middle, you're going to see the fulfillment of the vision, and you're going to see it through new eyes when you do. You're going to see it through completely new eyes. That's the interesting thing about this whole process. Listen, the process of vision to middle to fulfillment is incredible, and it changes your life. The last thing, this is that waiting builds godly anticipation. At the end of the day, what God wants is He wants to draw your attention to Him. That's what this is all about. To draw your attention to Him so that you can experience a close relationship together, so that you are walking through this process with God. And every day, through the discouragement, through the waiting, through the longing, through the changing, you're walking with God through it. And you're developing this relationship with Him. Because when you do that and you get to the fulfillment part, you know that you know that you know that it was God all along. And so you're partnering with Him. As our character grows, as our attention is drawn to Him, we find ourselves at peace then with the waiting. And then the waiting isn't so frustrating, but you're at peace with the waiting, knowing that God is in control. I find that a lot of times when God has said He's going to give me something, He gives it to me right after I go, God, it's okay if you don't give that to me. You lay it down, He gives it to you. I don't, God is this incredible contrarian. But that's what happens. We know that God is in control. And so in Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2, David says, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord, our God, for his mercy, just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. And it's this picture of waiting on God. Okay, God, I'm watching for your signal. I'm watching for your go. God, what is the opportunity that you have? And I'll walk in it. And it's that kind of relationship that helps us to recognize when God is telling us the waiting is over and the door is opening. Because if you give up, you won't recognize it. If you give up and a door opens and an opportunity comes up, you're not going to recognize it. You have to keep your eyes on God and understand that he is doing supernatural things in you during the murky middle. And so we recognize that, and our actions are producing results, and we're through the murky middle. We're stepping into fulfillment. Wait with your eyes on God and grow closer to him. So, so important. Man, as a side note, I've known many people who felt like God gave them something and they didn't keep their eyes on God through the middle. God gave them something, but they weren't bathing it in prayer. They weren't daily laying it before the Lord. They weren't seeking what God's word has to say about this. They weren't anticipating God. And all they faced after that was just discouragement. All right? And so we have to understand that God is trying to build godly anticipation in us, and we have to put our eyes on him. So here's what I want to do. I want to wrap up this way today. We're kind of running out of time, but I'd love for the worship team to come back. I blame Karen. She just took too long. It wasn't me. My message was right on. That offering, though, was pshht. So, yeah. It's what? Yeah. Thank you. So here's what I want to do. I really feel like there are those here today that are just, they're in the murky middle. I mean, just no two ways about it. And you're in the murky middle. Maybe you're waiting for something in your career life. Maybe you're waiting for something in your relationship life. You're waiting for that. You've been waiting for that breakthrough. You feel like God has spoken to you. Or maybe, just maybe, you started at a nonprofit organization, and you're stuck in the murky middle right now, and you just really need grace, which the Holy Spirit will give you, and you need some clarity as to where God is in the middle. And if that's you, would you just stand and let me just minister, let me just pray for you. And I believe that God wants to do, he wants to touch you today, he wants to encourage you today, he wants to open your eyes today. He's here. Anybody else? Don't miss an opportunity to get a touch from the Lord when it comes, or you'll just go home the same. We love you, God. If you are on our prayer team, either today or it's not your day, or you're on our leadership team, would you mind just coming and putting a hand on the shoulder of one of these guys? Yeah. Just want to pray for you. Pray together. God, first of all, I want to thank you for the vision. Thank you for the vision for awesome, healthy relationships. Thank you for the vision of an awesome organization that can bless a lot of people. Thank you, God, for the vision of ministry. Thank you, God. Thank you. God, I don't think we appreciate you enough for the vision, for the ideas, for those things, God, for the starting point, and we thank you for that, God. But Lord, now we're in the murky middle. Can't see you. The voices are whispering. And so, Lord, this morning we take our thoughts captive in the name of Jesus. We choose to trust. We choose to believe. We choose to keep our eyes fixed on you. God, I pray for your grace. Your grace, God, in the middle. And Lord, I pray that you would give us clarity and help us to see what you're doing in our lives, the way that you're transforming us, the way that you're changing us in the middle. And God, help us to commit to that process, to commit to that transformation, to commit to allowing you to change us and mature us and grow us. Lord, help us to press closely into you during this time and to trust you. And Lord, even if we don't have clarity, then God, at least help us to trust that you are at work. Because you are. Grace in the waiting. Grace during the middle time. Thank you, God. I think this is just really key. I think that especially if you're in the middle this morning, I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying, express some gratitude. Thank God for the middle. Thank God for the middle. Because if it was fulfilled right now, it would wreck you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the middle. Thank you for the shaping process. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Won't y'all stand? We want to introduce the song to you. Wendy will introduce it to you. I think it's really relevant to this period that we're in. So go ahead.